you got my slides up? Or, and like I promised, maybe. There it is. Okay. Last 2 weeks, we got through, what was it, 4 verses, and I think we're going to do a lot better this time. We saw how God called Abraham out of his country, his land, and his family, and he said, I will bless you. I will watch over you. I will curse those who curse you. So you don't have to worry about it, and it applies to us also today. We also saw how Israel has been a blessing to the world through not only the number one thing is the Messiah, of course, as the scripture says, but so many inventions that you guys at home didn't get to see, which you're going to see right now. I'm going to show you the first one that we talked about, and I got to go back. This is an exoskeleton that was developed by scientists in Israel. So people who cannot walk, they could put that around their bodies and they're able to walk. Now, we could look at that, like I said last time, and it's not easy. It seems a little tedious, but if you've lost the ability to walk, that is a blessing. One of my favorites, of course, was, connection failed, let's see, was this one. Now, it looks like a typical water cooler, doesn't it? Well, it is. But the thing about this water cooler is that it takes the moisture from the air, and it actually makes water from the moisture in the air. This invention from the Israelis has helped a lot of people around the world, especially in disaster situations. It can produce several liters, I think it was, every several hours, which is really good. That is amazing. That, to me, just reminds me of Star Trek type thing. When you go to the, I can't believe I forgot the name of it. That's just wrong. All my Star Trek fans are going to get me. Yes, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Live long and prosper. And for you guys who don't know, live long and prosper is actually a Jewish blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. You guys know that. Anyway, this invention is amazing because it actually takes moisture from the air and produces water. Another invention that you guys at home didn't get to see is the sniff phone that can actually smell disease. You breathe into it and it can find cancers and other diseases inside of the body. The technology from this actually came from animals that, you know, they have certain animals that are like, what do you call those? The helping animals. Service dogs, yes, service dogs, and they've helped their masters before when they passed out or they smelled out cancer or something going wrong in their bodies, and they're able to press a button so the ambulance comes. Basically, this is what that is. You go, you breathe into it, and it can detect illnesses in the body. That's amazing. So that's what you guys missed at home, and now you get to see it, and well, you get to see it now, too, because you weren't here last week. Some of the blessed inventions that came from Israel that the world is benefiting from. And, of course, I'll mention another one, is Google's mapping system started with Israel. So Israel has blessed the nation, the world, more than we even know. And it's easily forgotten. And, again, like I said, the world is jealous of Israel. They are God's chosen people. We are grafted in, of course, and they also will come back. There's a revival for the Messiah going on. So everything is coming in towards Christ's return. But when it comes to Abraham, when he said the blessings, the families of the world will be blessed. The number one blessing is the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. So open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. We're going back to Genesis chapter 12. Before we move forward, I want to clarify some things because there's an interesting thing. When did Abram get called by God? So open your Bibles and we'll go there. But I'm going to take us back for a little bit. We left off on verse 4 in chapter 12. Let me make sure I got this right. Okay. And let me put on my glasses. There we go. All right, you guys there? Now, verse 4 says, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. But if you go back to Genesis 11:31, it says that Terah, his father, took his son Abram, his nephew Lot, or Lot, his uncle, his great-uncle, No, I'm sorry, Terah, backward, I said it. And he also took Sarai and all the people that they acquired in Haran, and they went from Ur of the Chaldeans, and they were on their way to Canaan, but they stopped at Haran. Now, the question would be, why did they stop there? Because in the beginning, it says in verses 1, it said, you don't have to go there in verse 12. It said, now the Lord had, past tense, said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, and I will bless you and make you great. So we saw that he departed, but when did he depart? We're going to look at Acts 7. You don't have to go there, but Acts 7 explains it. When Stephen, and I usually say Stephen, I've said it for a long time, but I want to continue to say Stephen, but it is Stephen. When he approached the Sanhedrin, or actually when they took him, and he was just going through the entire history of the forefathers, and he says in verse 2, he says, brethren and fathers, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, which is the Chaldees, before he dwelt in Haran, and said to him, get out of your country and your relatives and go to a land I will show you. But he says in verse 4, to clarify it, then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from there, when his father was dead, he moved him to the land which you now live in. So Abram received a call in Ur of the Chaldees. He moved to Haran with his father. And the question is, what happened? Why didn't he first go when God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees or Mesopotamia? Why didn't he go to Canaan? Instead, he went to Haran. In essence, this is where they went, and I'm going to show you the map right there. So there he was, Ur, which is the modern-day Iraq. Don't forget to show this online. And then they went all the way up into Turkey or Haran. Now, why? Why would he do that? And you have to think about what's going on here when he got his calling. So the Lord appeared to him, and at that time, everyone was worshiping many different idols. Don't leave it up there, son. Is it still up there? Don't leave it up the entire time when I'm talking. Go back. Go, okay. So he went there. Now, his father somehow believed his son Abram and God appearing to him. Now, remember, there were pagans, and the word doesn't apply back then because everyone worshiped many gods. So God appeared to Abram. He told his father, hey, God appeared to me. And he says he wants me to leave and to go to that cursed land, Canaan. So it's speculation. And his father may have said, well, why don't we instead go up to Turkey or Haran? It was a well-established trade route. People were going back and forth instead of crossing that big desert. You know, let's stop up there and then we'll stay there for a while. And then we'll go down into the land that God spoke to you about, which is Israel right now, the West Bank in Israel. So they went there and they stayed there for a while, I guess, because he didn't leave until his father died. And when you think about what he did and God's calling, God called him to go. But remember that a relationship is being established right there. Here is a new convert, so to speak, God of glory revealing himself to him, and he's building a relationship. God is telling him it's time to move. But there's still a growing in him, and he's still wanting to honor his father. He didn't leave until his father died. And you have to remember the culture at that time, and even now, and the Bible tells us the fifth commandment is that you honor your father and your mother. So a lot of these commandments that we see or have, the Ten Commandments, they understood it in their hearts, other than the one worshiping other gods, because he was establishing himself again. So he honored his father, and at the same time, he may have been thinking, well, man, okay, we'll go there and stay there. And his father may have told him, let's stay. Why do you want to go to a cursed land? You're talking about Canaan. They're crazy down there. Generally, they all were. But it may have been that he was saying, well, it's cursed. You know what happened. You know what Noah said. Why do you want to go there? How do you know that this God is this true God and he's calling you to a place where he is going to give you? Now, this is speculation, but you have to ask yourself, why did he wait? And that can happen to us, right? When God calls us somewhere, we're not sure in the beginning of our walk, or maybe we're too sure and we decide to say, it is the Lord. Then we fall into false visions, or we may not listen to the Lord. But what did he tell them? He told them to go to what is Israel, but it's Canaan. But they went up. So he honored his father, and remembering that he waited till he's dying. Jesus says something about this, which is interesting in Matthew, in the gospel. So there was someone who was either following him or wanted to be one of his disciples. And he said, let me go bury my father first, and then I'll follow you. Well, Jesus said something that sounds strange. I think you guys know. He said, no, let the dead bury their own dead. You come and follow me. Now, without understanding the context and the time and the culture, you think Jesus is being rude and thinking, why isn't he letting this man bury his dead father? Well, he's not saying that. The custom is that you will become your own man once your father is dead. You go out and you do everything you need to do. So you have to honor your parents and their wishes at that time. So it's really difficult for Abram to leave his father if his father was saying, no, you got to stay here. And how many times can we have those things? In my own culture, it's the same way. When you become a Christian, God may speak to you. And you may tell your family, they may mock you, or they may say, no, just wait, don't leave yet. You know, just hang around. But God told me to go here. And you stay, and it could get worse or it could get better. But then you leave once the parent dies. Now, it's interesting. In my culture, it's the same way. When the patriarch of the family passes, then you're basically free to do what you want. You stick into culture. You honor him. You don't do anything bad. And the patriarch dies. You're doing everything under the sun because there's no one to stop you. And that happens in a lot of cultures. But it seems like he honored his father before he left. And understanding he should have honored God first. But this is the start of the relationship in his what we would call Christian walk. We can think of many times when God called us or we read the Bible and we see something. We're like, well, no, Lord, it can't be right now. You can't want me to do this right now. Or I'm embarrassed or I can't. But remember what Jesus was trying to say to this man. Let the dead bury their own dead. And this guy who came to him and said, let me bury my father first, was probably thinking, well, Abraham did it, and this is the right thing to do. But remember, Christ came to clarify things more. He came to fulfill everything. He gave a deeper understanding of the laws and the prophets and everything they did. And that is why Jesus said, no, when I call you, just follow me. Let the dead bury their own dead. In other words, I know who will follow me and who won't. So when he's saying the dead bury their own dead, they will not follow me. Your heart wants to follow me. The time of salvation is now, the Bible says. Follow me. But God knows our walk sometimes takes a while, and his grace covers a multitude of sins. And that's what we see here. When it took him, he didn't listen to the Lord at that time, but he went into Haran in Turkey and enjoyed life a little bit until his father passed. So is that clarified enough for you guys? You wanna move on so we can move it forward maybe? Okay, so let's go on in verse 6. No, wait a second. Okay, pick it up, verse 5. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people who they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So what happened afterwards? So they came to the land of Canaan finally, as God wanted Abram to do so. And God's mercy, of course, was there. So he took all the people, and here it also talks about people that were acquired. Remember that trading people was like trading goods. Slavery was part of the economy at that time. We may think that slavery was always bad, but at certain times, even right now, when you hear people having more than one wives, I've said this before, they don't sleep with everyone. And it was the elder son, has to take care of all the family. And he may marry a woman of a family member, but that's because she comes under his protection, guarding and his covering. So these people who were bought, at times it's actually better because they're coming under the protection of everyone. Now, slavery in general was never the way God intended it, but we're talking about the fall right here. So he took everything he had and he went to Canaan. Verse 6. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth trees of Moreh. And the Canaanites were then in the land. Now, here's an editorial note for the people who who were living at that time who said, well, what do you mean Canaanites? We conquered them. But this is explaining that they were there at that time, and there was terebinth trees owned by a man or someone named Morai, if I'm pronouncing that right, who seems more possibly to have been a Canaanite. And Abram passed through there, and he hung out there for a while with this Canaanite. Verse 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. So here, when he finally listens, or Abram finally listens to God, what happens? God appears to him. And that's what happens to us when we listen to the Lord. If God is telling us to move or stay or go somewhere, that's the best place to be. God's patience is there, but you see, just like Abram, the same with us. When God tells us something, it's for our own good. And he showed him the next plan he had for him. Here, his faith is being built up because Abram is trusting this God he doesn't know about. Possibly it was talked about through the generations, but there was so many different gods right there that, again, God is establishing himself and his faith is being brought up. Little by little, even as a Christian, many times think about how God appeared in certain places as you obeyed, as you read his word. I mean, he doesn't have to come to you in light or anything like that, but he gives you an insight of a scripture. He can give you joy and peace as you move forward or you walk in the spirit. And that's what's happening to Abram here. And he builds an altar. Altar is a sign of worship. It's also a marker to remember the place where the deity appeared to you. It's a way to honor and to show this is the God I am following. So he built that altar in honor to the Lord because he did appear to him there, and a marker stone as well. Verse 8. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the east, on the west, and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So when you're looking at this now, and you're looking at when it says with in italics, that's just filling it in. The word Bethel is two words put together that means house and God, house of God. So here it says that Abram left where God appeared to him, or the house of God that he placed up, and he went in between these places and put another marker up, put another place where he's asking for God's advice. And he's asking, Lord, in essence, what should I do? Where should I go? And the Bible is going to explain why and what's going on at that time. But he puts up a marker, and he's doing the right thing. He's asking the Lord, putting up this and saying, God, what am I going to do? Now, we don't know if he sacrificed at that time, but he did place an altar also as a marker for that. So verse 9 says, so Abram journeyed going on still toward the south. So it explains what's going on. He's still continuing to move towards the south. South, going down into the land of Egypt. More than likely, he was asking God where to go. And why is it? Why is he asking God where to go? But verse 10 tells us why he was doing this. Now, there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. So in the beginning, Abram was doing right. He went to the land. God appeared to him. Then he looked around him and he said, man, this is bad. Is this where God wants me? Was my father possibly right? Should I have stayed in Turkey or Haran? And these things can happen when your faith is being tested, just like ours. As you grow in your faith, what do you need to grow? You got to have those times of testing. Because not for God. I mean, it's mostly for us. Because it helps us depend on him more. To see that he is trustworthy. That he's able to take us out of every circumstance when we obey. But he wasn't certain, it seems, and he decided to continue to travel on. And again, verse 9 hints to it because it says, going on still. Well, they add that word. So why is he still moving on? Still towards the south. He should have stayed where he was, but he goes into Egypt. And we're going to see what happens when we take our understanding in our own thoughts, and this can happen to us. So he went there, famine was in the land, and it was very severe. And it goes on to verse 11. And it came to pass, when he was close to entering Egypt, that he said to Sarai, his wife, Indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Now, we're stopping right there and we're seeing the plot develop, or him thinking in his own mind, perhaps this is a thing to do. Maybe I shouldn't be here. He's looking at his circumstances around him instead of trusting in God. Granted that the relationship is building. We have been through times like that, and we still can go through times like that where we look at our circumstances and we want out. But God is telling us, stay, but we don't want to hear that. We're not trusting. We're not waiting. We're not seeking. And we want to just move when he tells us not to move. He's already told us, but we're going somewhere different. That's what's happening here. And it's interesting to note that his wife is 10 years younger. Abram was 75, Sarah was 65. And the Bible tells us that she was beautiful. Now, we may think to ourselves, 65 years old, how can that be? There are a lot of people, if you just Google around, that are really beautiful, male and female, at 65. And I think Pastor Tim, who's approaching 65, would say that is true. There are a lot of people who are beautiful at 65. Also, taking into account that the food was different, the atmosphere was still better, and that the aging process wasn't the way that it is right now. There was stress, but not the same type of stresses that we have right now. America is number one in stress and overworking the people. The mental stress that we go through right now is so much more worse when it comes to our body than what they had back then. Even there was wars and slavery and all that stuff, there was still a lot of peace when they were doing their work. Releases, it didn't put into them cortisol. Cortisol is the number one thing that causes stress, high blood pressure, disease, all that stuff. And here in America, we're full of stress. We're overworked. We don't realize it. So this woman was beautiful, and you're going to see it's told again, and the Egyptians are going to confirm this. So verse 12, therefore, and he goes on, Abram says, therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you. Now, here is an interesting thing that he's saying, because right now he's saying, say that you're my sister. Well, he was. They were. Remember, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago when it came to the families marrying each other. And right now, there was no law that says you couldn't marry your half-sister, and she was. But he's still telling her to say a half-lie. Even a half-truth is still a full lie. It doesn't matter, because it is. There's no white lie. You know, it is what it is, and we should just call it that way. And I think when we see the circumstances just like he did, we do the same thing. We can justify reasonings. You know what? I got to go to Egypt. I got to do this because I think it's the right thing to do. Or I didn't hear from God. And that has to do with patience as well. So let's go down there, and what we're going to do is, well, here's the plan. We know this is a horrible place. We know how the Egyptians are. You know that there's a times when they may kill me as a husband. And that was a practice that happens, and it still happens right now today, that they would see a woman that's beautiful and they would kill the husband. But he's also saying, listen, it's better to say it's my brother, because if I am your brother, they will honor us and you won't go into either a whorehouse or be a slave. And that's what would happen as well. If a man was married to a woman, they would either put her into a brothel or that she would be a slave. So he was partly right for saying it will go well with you as well. Let's just see what happens. But is that the right thing to do? Is it right to put our understanding before God's understanding? We know the Bible says what? That the wisdom of man is foolishness to God. And understanding, again, I want to bring it that Abram is learning who God is, learning to trust, just like we are learning to trust. So it's easy for us to look at Abram and say, I can't believe you're doing this, Abraham. How many fingers would be pointing back to us? All of our fingers would be pointing back to us. How many times even now do we not trust the Lord when he tells us something, whether to do or not to do? How many times do we say, okay, you know what? No, I think this is how it should be, and we don't hear his voice because we come up with a plan for ourselves and it seems right. We justify the plan. But remember, we put in a little untruth and call it a truth. Compromise. Compromise is how we all came to this state in the beginning of Genesis. They didn't listen. And you know that. And that's what's happening here, compromise. But there is some truth to it. And he's saying, Sarah would be great for us. And they go along with the plan. Verse 14. So it was when Abram came into Egypt that the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. Now it goes on to say she was very beautiful, and the Egyptians saw her. 15. The princes of Pharaoh saw her and commended her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. Now here is an interesting thing as well. You're going into a land that worships other God. God is calling you to be different, and let me show you the way things should be. But you go down there, then the people see it. Abram knew that. He was expecting these things. He was smart, even though he, in his mind, he shouldn't have done that. We can do that the same thing. But let me give you my plan. Okay, here it comes. Here you have Pharaoh seeing her, and he's saying, the people around are saying, there's a beautiful woman. You're king. You need to have her. She is beautiful. Bring her on down. Let me check her out. That's what you get, right? When you go against the Lord, and he was prepared for this. You're going into a land, into a place where God doesn't want you. So they saw him and they said, okay, let's check out this woman. So verse 16. Wait, was it? Yeah. Sorry. Verse 15. The princess saw and the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. Verse 16. He treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys, and camels. Well, it seems like it's going good. So maybe I did hear from the Lord. Maybe this is what God wanted me to do. I mean, it doesn't matter. I went into a land that's really bad and pagan, and I had to make this plan up so they wouldn't kill me. It seems like it's going good. And what is happening here? His plan seems to be working. They honored him, and this is what's called a dowry. Because he was considered the brother, he was blessed, so to speak, with the oxen and the sheep and the servants and all the stuff that you would get, that a king would give or a rich person would give to your child, your girl, if you're going to give them up there. And that's what my culture does as well. You have a daughter, you either go to the eldest son if the father's dead, or to the father, and you ask permission. You say, I want your daughter. You come up with a price or a dowry, and it's done. Of course, the way it is, if she's a virgin, it's more money. If she was married before, it's less. This is all customs that still go on today in other countries, especially in the Middle East. So I can understand what's happening here. He was right. Let's do this. It'll be fine. There'll be no problem. Okay? And he gets money. He's like, great, my plan is working, but I may lose my wife. What happens afterwards? Verse 17, but the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. We have to remember what God said to Abram. What did he say to Abram before? I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. See, in doing so, Abram and the promises and blessings of God never come back. When he blesses you, he blesses you, the Bible tells us. So what's happening here? Even though Abram is doing wrong, God is still blessing him and protecting his family and Sarai. He curses and brings plagues on Pharaoh for the sake of Sarai. And that's the thing that we got to think, even in God's favor. We can cause some pain to other people as well. Granted, you have to understand that Pharaoh was no innocent guy. He was what? Let me check out that woman, bring it to her, and she'll be part of mine, my harem or whatever. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. It wasn't like that in the beginning. In the beginning, it was male and female. Jesus even says that. But they brought on a curse because God said, I will curse those who curse you. And that's what's happening here. To take another man's wife, the word curse is to do wickedness. The Bible also tells us you should not covet anything that another man has. You shall not covet his wife. Even though these laws, the Ten Commandments, weren't there, they were there. But they were more towards the children of Israel. So Pharaoh was cursed, and his house was cursed, and it was brought plagues on them because Abram did something wrong and he caused sorrow to other people. Granted, they weren't following the Lord. And this has, you have to be careful, because in this time, he's starting to represent the one true God. We can do things also, again, in our lives, in our walk, that don't look too godly. that could make that one true God look bad and blow our testimonies. But God being good to Abram, wanting to show Abram, I will continue to watch over you because I'm not going to take back what I said. Curses Pharaoh and his house for the sake of his wife. So what happens after that? Verse 18. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way." Now when you're listening to what Pharaoh's saying right now, how did he come to understand that this was his wife? Well, first the plagues come. Something's going on. So he calls his wise people, his seers, his sorcerers, and say, "Find out what's going on here. What God is angry at us? What have we done?" So they do that, and then it comes that, oh, it's Abraham's God. You're taking his wife. Well, why? What did we do? It's his wife. We divined and found out that it was his wife. And they used to do that all the time. You'll see that later on in the Bible when they go back to Egypt and Moses says, "Let my people go." But that's what's happening here, and it's interesting because he says, "Why did you do this?" He's asking the question. "Why did you tell me she was your wife?" But at the same token, Abram could have said, "Well, you have a practice of killing husbands, and my wife is beautiful." You see, you can't go to a land that God tells you not to go with a king or a country that's wicked and expect them to understand. And even if they do, you can't trust them. So the Pharaoh said that, and he don't know. Abram was sort of right and not. You shouldn't have been there to begin with, but he sees that God had mercy on him. But Pharaoh says what? "Take your wife and go." Verse 20. So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that they had. So Pharaoh commands them and say, "Let these people go. Let them keep everything I gave them. Just get them out of our land." And they must have left with some shame. Here they are in the beginning putting up an altar to God and saying, "God, where should I go? Or maybe you want me to go there. There's a famine." Going into Egypt, not waiting on the Lord, concocting this plan, God still having mercy, bringing upon the citizens there a plague, and they left and sort of destroyed their testimony that they may have been able to had into a degree in shame. And what happens? Where do they go from here? Well, we're going to move on to chapter 13. So he lets them go in chapter 13, picks it up. "Then Abram went up from Egypt, he, his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south." Now, remember that he had Lot with him as well. So all of them went there, and now they're getting kicked out of the land. Verse 2, "Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place where the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord." So what did he do? He finally came to his senses and said, "You know what? I shouldn't have done this. This was wrong. I'm not going to find the God that is calling me out and saying he's going to give me this land here. We made a mistake, Sarai." You're right, Abram. We did make a mistake. And we do that a lot in our lives. But he did what was right. He went back to God. He went back to the place where God called him. He went back to the altar where God met him and asked again, "What should I do, Lord? I made a mistake. Let's hang out for a while." And that's what we should do. When we find ourselves making a mistake in our walk, when we veer off the path, when we move further than God wants us to, or stay longer than God wants us to, we should always go back to the throne room of grace, the altar of God, the Holy Spirit leading us, and that's the Word of God. When we get confused in here, we have to remember His promises, what He tells us to do. Just as Abraham is learning to trust God, we too are doing the same thing. We should be growing in our walk, learning to trust what God says. And it's not easy. That's the whole point of walking by faith, not by sight. I don't think it's meant to be easy, but the Lord is working in us something that, in other words, he's saying, listen, I am God. You can trust me. Well, I don't know if I can trust you or not, because fate is a strange thing. Evidence of things not seen. What does that scripture mean? I don't see it. I can only trust what I see. But see, God is calling us to more continually, to be better than what we are. And that all has to do with trusting him and what he tells us, what his word tells us to, regardless of what our circumstances are, regardless of what we think is right or wrong, because we can easily take the Bible and twist it to make it look like we wanted to for our own selfish gain. But if we're growing and if we're in ignorance, God, of course, forgives us. He continues to pour out his grace on us. We can all think how many times we have been like him. This is that V8 moment. I should have had a V8. I should have not left until the Lord told me to leave. But he did what was right. He went back to the Lord and said, let me rethink, or let me not think. Verse 5. Lot also, who went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that the land could not. Wait a second, where am I? Were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. Once again, it's talking about, okay, not only is Abram's whole clan and livestock there, but also Lot's. But we're only allotted a certain amount of space because the Canaanites and the Perizzites still rule that area. So they had started having strife. There must be a lot of things going from Egypt, having to go back, and here everyone is stressed out. Here you see the herdsmen coming together and fighting over pasture land because they're all stressed. See, that's the thing. There's consequences. There's causality. They didn't listen before. Now they left. Now they're coming back, and now there's issues going on that they didn't have before, and their land is smaller because they have not. They don't own that yet, and there's strife happening. Verse 8, so Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. And here Abram is doing what is right. And there is a time when we do have to separate from family members, and we've talked about that, and he knows that because God told him, separate yourself from family. But it was his responsibility to watch over his nephew. Now there's strife. So now he's saying, let's separate. And he was right in that, separate from me, because I don't want us to have a bad relationship. The Bible says that we're called to peace. But it seems like none of this would have happened if they would have listened to God in the beginning. And that's the thing. There will always be consequences in our lives, and we will have to deal with those consequences. You made your bed, now you lie in it. Because God wants us to honor our decisions. It's so easy in today's world, and so many Christians do that. They don't honor their decisions. They just want out easily because times are tough. But see, that's what relying on God means. During the tough times, that's when Christ comes in and shows himself more, and he gets all the glory. But once again, we have to listen to him and follow him and he tells us where to move when we have to. And that's what's happening here now. Now there's strife, and Abram's saying, come on, we're going to have to separate because there's just too much of us. We got more blessings. We made mistakes, but I think it's best if we separate because we want to keep our relationship. And Abram loved Lot, but now here comes a choice for Lot. And it goes on in verse 9. Abram says, if you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you take the right, then I will go to the left. And he's being gracious and saying, Lot, wherever you go, I will take the opposite. Maybe he realized I shouldn't have done this to begin with. This is all happening because of a decision I made. And that can happen to us. But he's doing right and he's humbling himself and saying, we do need to separate. But what happens in verse 10? Let's read and see. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Here again, is a editorial note explaining to the people that, wait, what are you talking about, well-watered? This place is a wasteland. So this is an editorial note explaining to the people once they conquered, saying before Sodom and Gomorrah and raining down brimstone, it was well-watered and it was beautiful. Going on to verse 10. Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go towards Zorah. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. So Lot, unfortunately, suffered from the grass is greener syndrome. He looked and saw the land and said, man, this is nice. I think I'll go pitch my tent there and live amongst these pagans, let's use that word, these ungodly people who don't know the God of Abram, who is my uncle, who seems to be the right God. I think I'm going to be here because I think I'll be safe. I wasn't too bad off in Egypt. Let me stay here. Here's a mistake he made. When he separated from Abram, he decided poorly. He chose unwisely. And it's going to affect him later on when we continue to read in the Bible. That's another thing we got to be careful. See what causality can bring. And decisions we make for others. And even when we go to others and say, you know what, it's time to go. We're going to have to separate ourselves, but it could actually be worse for the people that we're saying this to. Grass isn't greener. This Lot chose bad. And the problem is, if God tells you to move, you move. If he tells you to stay, you stay. And it's not about our comfort. It's about obeying Christ in faith. That is a big problem with us. We want comfort. We live in America, and we're used to our comforts, more so than a lot of other countries. And I've told you some stories of how they live, how they go to the bathroom, what they eat. We'd be like, there's no way I'm doing that. No way. You go to the bathroom, they give you a couple of sheets of toilet paper, that's all you're getting. Wait a second. Other countries are like that. You're squatting really low. There's your toilet. This is what you're eating, and that's it. Well, flies are going around the food, but you don't want to dishonor the people. But here, he chose for himself comfort. He could have chose other places, but yes, they all had something to do with this. And that is a good example for us as we look into the life of Abram and the decisions he makes. As we grow with Christ, are we continuing to follow him? Are we moving where he wants us to move? And are we going to stay where he wants us to stay? If he wants us to move, will we move? If he wants us to stay, will we stay? If we've left, is he telling us to come back? And if we're somewhere he doesn't want us to be, are we leaving that place? Because in the end, he knows it's bad for us. And it could affect family members. And we see that in Lot's decision. Somehow, as they were traveling, he looked at Egypt and he decided, this reminds me of Egypt. I liked living in Egypt. Let me go there. And as we read, we're going to say he lost everything. So we got to be careful in our decisions also, whatever stage we are in Christ, to make sure that it's God leading us, telling us to move, telling us to stay. Again, if we've left, come back. And we're looking at a world right now where many of people have not come back to church. It's okay to watch online. No offense to anyone who's watching online. But where's your faith? Are you living with fear or faith? And see, this COVID thing has destroyed a lot of fellowship. God never tells us under any circumstances to forsake the fellowship. We're supposed to gather. And if God wants to take us out, he'll take us out, whether at home or in a church or at another place, because our life is in his hands. And that's why we got to be careful that we don't do something that is worse for us in the long run. And a lot of people are falling away from the faith because they fell into the trick of the enemy, not coming back. And this was a little test too. But God's mercy on Abram allowed Pharaoh to be cursed and to have disease. so he can come back. And that's what we have to do. People have to come back, fellowshipping, going back to church, going to where God wants them to be, not where they feel comfortable. It's dangerous to be in the comfort zone because that's where you are complacent, and that's where slavery comes in. I've talked about the stages of history. It also happens to us. Comfort will take away everything from you. We'll see that when we get to Lot. So for the meantime, be where God wants you to be. Leave where God wants you, doesn't want you to be. Wherever he wants you to be, that's where you need to go. So come back or leave according to God's will. Let's pray.